Well, we appreciate that song too tonight. I know that through it all, the Lord will surely build our faith if we trust in Him and we let Him. I feel like the Lord's given me a little extension of the burden this morning. I was thinking about Psalms 37 and 7, and we just pray that God would make it a blessing to our hearts. If the Lord will enlarge His Word to us, it'll give us strength and it'll give us some good things to go with. In Psalms 37 and 37, we started this morning with the same scripture. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And we were thinking a little bit this morning about that marking of the perfect man is really not so much a man as it is the path that the man takes. And that when we mark what it says here, mark the perfect man, we're really marking the road that this man takes. And we read different places. We read about Job, where the Lord Himself testified for Job that he was a perfect man and an upright man. And how that God worked in his life. And when the Lord took everything away from him, he said the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken. Something to that effect. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know, Job had learned to trust in God enough that when the Lord did take, he still trusted in Him. His faith and his path wasn't dependent on everything going his way, but it was dependent on his faith in God. And so I want us to think tonight a little bit of something else, another aspect of the perfect man. I want to look at these that the Lord, and we mentioned how that the Lord told the rich young ruler, if you'll be perfect, go sell that you have. And give to the poor and come and follow me. Well, I believe there was one thing in that rich young ruler's life that was standing between him and God. And that is that he loved his riches too much. Or whatever it was, God saw that he needed to be rid of that so that he could make heaven his home. And he said, if you want to be perfect, go sell that. And then you'll be complete. You'll be full. You'll be just like I want you to be. He said he was already keeping all the commandments. Well, I'm thinking tonight about another aspect of the man of God. And as we look at the scriptures and we see those that have written to us, those that have gone before us, that we get a vision in our mind. Because I think about the road that was mentioned about, you know, when we take a trip and we look at a map and we determine the road to get to the place we're going to. And we search that out and we get it down. This is the road that I need to take. You know, then it eliminates a lot of other roads diversions that we could go on. When we get clear in our mind, this is the path that God wants me to take. This is the path I need to go on to get where I'm needing to go. And, you know, tonight I want to talk a little bit about self-denial as an aspect of our life that God, the Lord, I believe, wants to incorporate into our life. It's something that we have to let God put there because when we're born, we're kind of selfish creatures. And you can see it in little children, and you have to start working with them as soon as they're born almost and just... In a little while, everything's me and mine and I and all of those words. And you have to start working against that. But you know, the Lord has given us a pattern. And He says here in Luke 9 and 23, I want to begin and just think a little bit tonight about, Lord, teach me and show me the road that I need to take to heaven. Help me to see plainly the path that it takes For my soul to get there intact with my faith and with my soul clear before you. In Luke 9, it says, in verse 23, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Tonight we're talking about self-denial. And Jesus said, if any man will come after me, this is one of the prerequisites. If you're going to come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, we live in a world today where so many people, there's just Christians everywhere. Everybody's a Christian. And yet there's very few people that deny themselves and take up their cross and follow the Lord. A cross is not always a pleasant thing. In fact, it's just simply not. And he said here, for whosoever will save his life will lose it, shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You know, this thought that the Lord brought to us here about denying ourselves, I think about when we become parents. And as young people, many times we just enjoy life and we enjoy our freedom, we enjoy our money, and everything we have is just ours, and we just spend it however we want a lot of times as young folks. But you know, when you start getting saddled with responsibilities, it's not very long till you begin to say, well, I can't do that because I've got a child at home, or I've got to take care of this responsibility. Or I can't go there this weekend. I've got to work overtime because I've got some responsibilities at home that I didn't used to have. Well, you know, that's not bad for us, is it? It begins to transform us into something from a very selfish person many times. And we don't mean to be necessarily, but it's just who we are as people. And we begin to find out that we take responsibilities. We begin to go against the flesh and do things that we don't feel like doing all the time. Well, you know what that does is it opens up a whole world to us of things that can happen because of people that will take responsibility. And I want us to think a little bit tonight about taking responsibility that God has for us. It says, mark the perfect man. Mark the man who reached, watch his life. I saw him reach there. I saw him reach the goal. When they passed over, their faith was intact. Their testimony was good and clear and right. Watch that. Mark that path. I remember the time, when we first started coming among the saints and the print shop was over on the west side. Sometimes I'd have reason or occasion to drive up, I guess it's 9th, drive up the street there where the print shop was on. And you know, lots of times in the evening, I'd see a light on over there. And I'd know Brother Lawrence Pruitt was in there working. He was working to put out the Faith and Victory. And I saw those tireless, much effort going into that. You know, I'm sure that there was plenty of times that he had things that he would have liked to have done. But he had learned to deny himself, that there are some things that are worth denying ourselves for. I just want us to think about tonight, looking at some of the things that come from a life of denying myself of some of the things that I want to do. It's when Jesus said here, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's the first thing. You're going to have to put aside some of our own personal preferences if we want to serve the Lord and follow that path that we've seen others follow. I thought about Brother Bob Salee, and I look around at this building. I remember, and I was fairly young at the time, but I remember the many hours that he put into the planning. I remember the planning of this building here. And it's just a building, but we have a nice place to worship, and we thank God for it. The floods don't come like they used to and wash us out. But you know, I remember watching him when we built the school, the same thing. You know what? That challenged me. There was something about that that I saw that I wanted. I wanted a part of that in my life. And you know, many times there's a growth in those kind of things. I just want to encourage us tonight to look at life and see a bigger picture than the party or than the bright things that seem to be, I just want that and I just want to have fun. You know what? There are many blessings that come from a life that is given to the Lord and to His work. Sometimes the things of sacrifice are so well worth it. We find that out in our families when we begin to raise our families and we begin to realize, you know, here I have all these children and no, I can't do everything I used to do. There's lots of things that you begin to find out you can't do. But is it worth it? There's no question. It's not even a close maybe. The benefits so far outweigh the cost. So I want us to look a little bit tonight and look at those that have went before us, that we see the fruit that endures. And many times, and I know this is just a building, but we see the fruit of their life, sometimes in people. Sometimes we see the sacrifice that people have given for others, and we see lives that we know would not be changed like they are if somebody had not have denied their self and given to see that the work of God was done. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 25, Paul writes here and he says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul's really talking about what we would call probably the Olympic Games today. What he's bringing is just a picture of what people do in the world. And Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I'm not just kind of motoring along, but I've got a goal in mind. I want to reach that place. I want to reach at the end of my life, that place that my faith is still intact in a world that is totally set against our faith. I want to reach that place where my family has good confidence that I believe mom or dad, I believe they knew the Lord. I believe they made it in. You know what? That's valuable. And so he said, I'm not just running casually. He said, I'm not just fighting. If it was a fight in this flesh, I'm not fighting just to play around. He says, I'm not just beating around in the air, but I keep under my body. Then bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, this little concept of keeping under our body, keeping our body in subjection is what he's talking about. You know, sometimes that might not seem so glamorous, but really and truly the good things of life come to those that take the responsibility to take care of the things God has entrusted to them. And 2 Peter 2 Peter 1, and 5 and 6, it says, beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. You know what temperance is? It's just self-control. Young folks, I want to encourage you, all of us, to have self-control in our life. I believe that it affects our spiritual man. It seems to me like when, if our self is kind of out of control and we're not really taking care of ourselves, we're just kind of not really in being temperate. Doesn't that affect us? It really does. And so the Bible teaches us to be temperate and to add that to our faith. There is a growth in these things that as we begin to go along, that we bring this body under subjection. This body is like, and I was thinking about maybe a big earth machine, a big dozer or something with a big bucket on it. You know, those machines are very powerful. But if they only had a gas pedal, it would be trouble. It would be trouble for everything in their way. They're a powerful machine. You know what? We are too. God made people to be able, some people in this world, in history, has caused a lot of problems with their life. God has allowed us to be in control of a lot of things sometimes in our lives. But you know, if we don't bring our appetites under subjection, if we don't bring our desires under subjection, it's like that bulldozer just out of control. It'll tear up our home. It'll tear up our relationships. It'll tear up our ties to our children. It'll tear up all kinds of things if we don't bring ourselves into control, temper ourselves, deny ourselves of that gratification that we would have to have the last word or whatever it is that we have to have. The Lord, Brother Bob preached a message here some time back about the tongue. And James says the tongue is an unruly evil. You know, it says hell is set on fire by the tongue. I believe something to that effect. And you know, when you see those kind of things, he talks even about a great ship being moved by a little helm. That's the way the tongue is. The Lord wants us to bring ourselves in subjection. And I believe the Lord will help us to do it. I believe the word says there in James that the same, if we can control our tongue, the same as a perfect man. And able to control, does it not say, the whole body? You know, that was my thought in going there. That the Lord, if we will bring our appetites in subjection, you know, it will bless all the rest of our life. Everything that we set our hand to, if our body is in control and our tongue is in control and our life is tempered, do you know the Lord can call on us to do things that He can't do otherwise? That He could not possibly do, because if the dozer got loose, what kind of damage would happen? And the Lord knows that. And so He tells us, add to your faith. Build on your faith. Take that thing that I gave you to start with, that the Lord gave you to start with, and begin to build. Lord, I know that You want this in my life. I know You want my life to be under Your control. And begin to add those things. Can we be happy and deny ourselves? Can we? Can we deny ourselves and still be happy? Is that not one of the secrets of life? There are people that have learned to be content in whatsoever state they are. There are people that have learned to be happy with great responsibilities at hand. And as we learn to tame our bodies and bring ourselves into God's control, I believe with that will come a wonderful blessing in our spirit and in our life too. I was just thinking about how that the work of the Lord comes at a price. It comes from those that deny themselves. The work of the Lord does not happen because people have plenty of extra time. It's because people deny themselves of the things that they would do. I want to encourage us tonight to begin to pray, Lord, give me my responsibility. give me my talent, my place, my work that you want me to do. Because many times it is those responsibilities that mature us. It is those things that begin to make us into the person that we're following. The pattern of life that we see that takes people to heaven. It's not the party that takes people to heaven. It's the folks that allow the Lord to bring their life into His subjection and give them responsibility. And they follow that. And many times it's the blessing that keeps them going. In 1 Kings 19, I wanted to read about Elisha here. We know Elijah, when Jezebel threatened Elijah's life, and all those 400 prophets had been killed of Baal, then Elijah ran. And he ran for 40 days, I believe. And he was in a cave, and the Lord spoke to him, and he told him, he said, I want you to go back, and I want you to anoint Elisha to be in your room, in your place. And 1 Kings 19 and 19, so he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. You know, I just wonder about Elisha there. He was out plowing with the oxen when Elijah came by and cast that mantle on him. And he knew what that meant. God's calling me. I wonder if Elisha was glad to get out from that oxen, or if that was the love of his life. There's many people that love that. Elisha may have loved what he was doing. He may have loved plowing the fields. But you know what? He put that all aside. And when God called for him, he was in a place. The Lord knew that if I call for him, he'll come. And he called for him, Elisha, follow me. And Elisha just left what he did. I thought about Peter. I believe Peter loved to fish. But when the Lord called for him to follow him, Peter left all of that and he followed the Lord. You know, many times, I know those things, sometimes we feel like, if the Lord called me like that, I would go too. But the truth really is that if we don't take our talent or our 5 talents that He's given us or our 2 talents, if we don't take care of that, if we don't bring this body in subjection, many times the Lord, He says one place, He said, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, and I found none. That's what He said at one time. He looked for a man, and He couldn't find one. I trust that the Lord will cause us to have a heart. Lord, I want to follow You. I want to do Your will, and begin to take care, careful care, diligent care, denying ourselves to make sure that we take care of the things that God has put in our lap to take care of. I believe when we do that, we'll be prepared then when the Lord says, I got some talents over here that I need something. I need somebody to take care of that. And He begins to look around. You know what? He's going to be looking for somebody that has denied theirself and has took good care of the single or the 2 talents that He's already given them. And I want to read a little bit there. Matthew 25. I'm not going to be much longer. I just wanted to give you this little burden that I felt like the Lord gave to me for us tonight. But it speaks of the talents here. And the Lord Himself was saying this. And He starts in verse 14 of chapter 25. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man. It's like this. It's like a man that went into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." Now he's telling us something here. The kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like somebody that went on a long journey, and he brought his servants and he said, "I got work here to do, and here's, this is yours, and this is yours, and this is yours. I want you to take good care of this while I'm gone." You know what that took? It took responsibility from somebody. And so he said, every man according to his several ability. He didn't just mete it out to people that wasn't able to take it. When God works, he meets out. He knows what we can do. He knows what he can do in a life. And so not everybody here, we see, believed that. "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise also he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.' He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.' Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.' His Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" You know, it seems to me like a pretty strong likeness there. Here, this Lord was going out of town, and he was going to be gone a long time. But you know, when he came back, I believe the Lord wants us to know, when he comes back, he wants us to have the things he's given us and have taken good care of them. He said here, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." You know, the Lord doesn't want to take the talent from us, but he wants us to use it. And I just want to encourage us tonight. I don't know what everybody's job is. I don't know what everybody's call from the Lord is. Everybody has a different thing. And some folks, you'll never even know what theirs is hardly. But it's part of the backbone. You don't see it, but it's a part of the structure. And so the Lord has a place for us. I want to encourage us tonight. This life is not just all about us or all about me. All about I. This life is about doing the will of God. We have one that we're responsible to, and the Lord has given us a charge. And when he's called us, he said, "If any man come to me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." But you know, that's not the end of it. I want to read one more scripture in Luke 18 and 29. It says here, "Then Peter said," verse 28, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. You know, we think sometimes of the sacrifice and of the cost of taking responsibility and things like that and denying ourselves. But you know, we don't always remember what the Lord Himself said here. This was the Lord Himself that spoke this. He said, there's not one that's left, father or mother, parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Just want to encourage us tonight. I believe that the Lord pays big dividends. I've seen many times places where we needed God to work in our family many times. And I have watched Him bring things into those places where I did not know what to do. I remember one time one of our children was having some real struggles. And you know, you begin to pray. You begin to get really serious about those things. And I watched the Lord bring this man into his life that was a rough fella. And at first I was worried about it. I was worried about it for a while. And we were like, hey, we need to get to know this. But you know what? That very person is the one that turned his heart about some things that he was needing turned. The Lord brought that in. And I watched God work in that way so many times. And I think, Lord, if You'll pay us back like that, I don't care what the cost is. I'll be willing to pay it. So when we see a little bit of self-denial, there's another side to that picture. There is many, many blessings that the Lord gives when we give ourselves to Him and we give up of our way. When we deny ourselves, when we temper our body, do you know, I believe God puts His approval on that. And when the Lord's approval is on something and when His Spirit is working in something, you know, no matter what happens, the Lord is there. And when the Lord is there, I think we're in a pretty good situation. So I just want to encourage us tonight. Lord, teach us to live, to follow the example. We see the apostles. We see so many in the Bible that wrote letters to us. We see Paul's letters. And you know, I think sometimes you read about some of his travels and some of the things he went through. But you know what? I believe God paid Paul back. I don't see Paul living a life with his head down or any such thing. I believe Paul lived a life that was full of good things of God. And I believe the Lord will pay us back like that too. I appreciate the Lord tonight. Y'all pray for us.